The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
On the evening of that first day of the week, when the doors were locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive are forgiven them, and whose sins you retain are retained." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Fifty days ago, we celebrated Easter, and we had this same gospel. Powerful that we hear it again as we celebrate the close of the Easter season and the beginning or the birthday of the church at Pentecost. Jesus comes to the disciples locked and scared and hiding. And he says, "Peace be with you." And in granting that peace, he gives them courage. Next, he says, "Receive the Holy Spirit," and he breathes on them. And the world hasn't been the same since. Jesus has some pretty powerful breath. So Jesus breathes on them and they receive the Holy Spirit, this breath of God, this power to change the world. How are we doing in living out that breath of God? We celebrate this as the birthday of the church. We celebrate it as the coming of the Holy Spirit. But if the Holy Spirit comes and there's no place for her to land, for her to rest, for her to abide in, that would be in us, then nothing happens. And I just like to look at those words of Paul to the Galatians as we continue this year of Paul and see if there isn't some insight there. We'll skip all the nasty stuff. Right? Paul goes on and on and on and on, maybe a little fixated on the nasty stuff. We'll just let that pass. But that's what the world is, broken and in darkness, isn't it? We know violence and depravity happen with reckless abandon. But there's a solution. And Paul says that solution is the Holy Spirit abiding in you. Listen again to those fruits of the Spirit. In contrast, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. These are what God's Spirit wants to give us and has given us at our baptism, a deepening of that gift of the Spirit at our confirmation, a renewal of that spiritual gift every time we receive the Eucharist. Right? Caught up in these sacraments of initiation are the very gifts and fruits of the Spirit. Now, why hasn't our world changed? I would suggest there's some holes or cracks in the container that God has given us to carry that Spirit. And those holes and cracks are caused by sin. But again, the solution or the mend for those cracks is the Spirit itself. But think about it again as we look again at these fruits. When I act lovingly, the kingdom of God is built up. When I act unlovingly, the kingdom of God is torn apart. When I act with joy, Everybody seems to be joyful around me. If there's a dark cloud and everything I point out is negative, first I'll lose all my friends. And I'll be miserable. But often, life is not entirely positive nor entirely negative. But I would suggest if you call on the Holy Spirit will point out to you that which is positive, even in the midst of suffering. And that's why joy can exist in spite of suffering. Because it's a gift from God. It's not something that I create within myself. It's something that God gives me. But if I have a crack in the vessel, right, we're vessels to carry the Holy Spirit. If my vessel is cracked, then I need to ask the Holy Spirit to mend that leak. Peace. Jesus says it again and again and again and again after the resurrection. It's the biggest gift he wants to give us. And if I'm at peace, those around me tend to be a little bit more peaceful. If I'm angry and looking for a fight, maybe there's not going to be any peace anywhere nearby. And so can we become a vessel of God's peace? Jesus gives it to us. He gave it to us at Easter. He gives it to us, especially on Pentecost. He continually gives it to us. Depending on which Eucharistic prayer is used at the Mass, the word peace, the gift of peace, is called down upon us like 20 to 25 times at every liturgy we celebrate. This is not something to just go, yeah, peace be with you. No, it's what we need to live. It's the very thing that gives us life. If we are at peace in ourselves and with one another, then life, as God intended it, can happen. Patience, right? A gift of the Holy Spirit, a fruit of the Holy Spirit. Good thing, because I don't have enough. When I'm impatient, everyone seems to be, you know, moving even slower. But when I'm patient, we have plenty of time to get all kinds of things done. And so when I find myself locked up in impatience, ready to do something unchristian, I say, come, Holy Spirit, give me that fruit of patience. And you know, the difficulty seems to ease just a bit. Whatever was bottlenecked and slowing things down seems to move more freely. And I pay less attention to my watch and more attention to those that I love at hand. These fruits of the Spirit are powerful gifts that God is pouring on us and desires us to build up. Kindness. Right? When I'm acting unkind and vengeful, the building up of the kingdom of God is really not going anywhere. It might be going backwards. But when I can act with kindness, when I can set myself aside, let go of a little bit of that selfishness and build up the kingdom, then things are happening. It was the kindness of hundreds of thousands of individuals over the centuries that has brought us the faith today, of setting themselves aside to pass on this love. Generosity, right? I love being generous. It brings me great joy. When I am not generous and ungrateful, I could have the most amount of money in the world and I would not be happy. It's from generosity that life comes. Can we be more like the Holy Spirit that showers her fruits on the just and the unjust? Just like the sun that shines on the good and the evil. The Holy Spirit is willing to give herself away to anyone who desires to have new life. Now what happens is that if we're caught up in sin, if we're locked away in some of that nastiness that Paul so clearly enumerates, we have no way of holding on to that Holy Spirit when it's given to us. But we need to mend those breaks or tears in the vessel that carries the Spirit of God. It was begun in us. It began growing in us with our conception. It will continue to grow through our baptism. It's renewed and mended when we receive the Eucharist. and the gifts of the Holy Spirit are poured upon us at our confirmation. How can we be more active in looking for these gifts, in searching them out and letting them fill us? Faithfulness, right? Learning about our faith, studying the great gifts and mighty works of God, looking at how God's mercy transforms lives, sharing with one another, faith sharing, brings about greater faithfulness. There's another sense of faithfulness, and we know the suffering and hurt that unfaithfulness within relationships causes. And we know the great gift of faithfulness in a partnership of life that brings forth life, and that faithfulness that so builds up God's love. We can choose every day to be faithful or unfaithful. When tempted, let's call on the Holy Spirit that we might be faithful more often. Great gentleness. Great, great gentleness. This is definitely one of those things the Holy Spirit empowers in each of us, that we might be gentle with ourselves and with one another. And you watch the kingdom of God being built up in that great and tender gentleness that God gives us. This is not something that we do ourselves. This is one of those gifts, one of those tools the Holy Spirit gives us. And it brings about good. The Holy Spirit is always about bringing about good, about bringing about new life. Where there seems to be death and destruction, the Holy Spirit comes and things change for the better. One of the last fruits that Paul talks about is self-control. I was reading a scientific study and it said, we can determine how successful small children will be by studying one thing. And it's whether or not they can delay gratification. I'd like to have chocolate cake right now, but maybe not right now. Maybe I could wait until after Mass. I'll be a little bit more successful if I'm not sneaking off to have chocolate cake right now. But what does it look like as adults? Oh, I really want all of this stuff. I'll just put it on my credit card, even though I can't pay that card off. I'm making the $15 minimum payments, right? Or if I really desire and need some of that stuff, can I wait and delay that gratification by saving up so that I can pay cash or pay off that credit card? It's that ability to have self-control. It's a gift of God, but we can nurture it in little ways and allow the Holy Spirit to work in us even more. One of my favorite prayers, I might say it 200 or 2,000 times a day, is come, Holy Spirit. It's really short. Right? Come, Holy Spirit, help. That's, you know, in desperation. Come, Holy Spirit, inspire. Come, Holy Spirit, give me that gift of gentleness or peace or kindness. Come, Holy Spirit, and help me with that self-control or that faithfulness. Come, Holy Spirit. Can we, as we celebrate this 50th day of Easter, call down in our desire to build up the kingdom of God, those gifts and fruits of the Holy Spirit, and therefore transform and renew the face of the earth.